Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
So congratulations to anyone who ran the New York City Marathon yesterday. We will have a call-in later this hour for anyone who ran. I don't care what your time was. You get free airtime today just for running. Just think of something interesting to say about the experience of training for or actually doing 26.2 miles. On Friday, as you may know, we completed our election season marathon, 30 issues in 30 days, but promised you a bonus issue today, what to do about Alan Hevesy, and here it is. Hevesy, of course, is the incumbent New York State controller who was caught with what now appears to be about $172,000 or so of chauffeur expenses for his wife that he was supposed to reimburse the state but did not even keep records for. Democrats say, vote for Hevesy. If he's guilty of an impeachable offense, they'll replace him after Election Day, presumably with another Democrat. Republicans say, not good enough. Don't trust the Democrats to police themselves. Vote for his Republican challenger, Christopher Callahan. Is Callahan qualified to manage the state's $145 billion pension fund after being Saratoga County Treasurer? Is there a Republican and a Democratic way to manage the state's money that should leave Democrats, including Elliot Spitzer, worried if Callahan wins? What to do about Alan Hevesy? We've got several guests on this, beginning with Christopher Callahan, the Republican nominee for New York State Comptroller. Mr. Callahan, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Glad to be here. I have an answer to your question.
Go ahead.
What to do with Alan Hevesy? Defeat him tomorrow at the polls and elect me controller.
In order to do that, though, you have to convince a lot of Democrats to vote for you in this election year, when the Democrats will almost certainly sweep the other statewide offices. In your opinion, serious question here, is there a Democratic and Republican way to be controller?
There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be a I think Alan Hevesy has certainly run the office as a Democrat, as a partisan. I have no intentions in doing that. The office is a fiscal office. Fiscal responsibility is the only policy that should be important to the controller, and that should be nonpartisan.
What do you mean that Alan Hevesy has run the office as a Democrat?
Well, his office has been something of a patronage machine for the Democrats, and he has pursued a liberal policy agenda with pension funds. Some of his ideas, corporate governance, follows a liberal agenda of promoting, for example, same-sex marriage. He's made that contrary to law. He's approved spousal benefits for same-sex out of country same-sex marriages. And so this is consistent with his agenda. I have a more conservative point of view, but even as I told the conservative state committee when I interviewed with them, from my conduct of the office, you would never recognize me as a conservative or liberal or anything else. It's just a question of watching the money carefully and letting the governor and the legislature take care of the state's policy.
You mentioned one way that you say Alan Hevesy used ideology to control state funding. Mr. Hevesy says he uses the pension funds at times for socially conscious investing, like to spur low-income housing projects and economic development upstate and other socially conscious investment practices. You wouldn't do that?
I think the state's policy on all of these things should be determined by the governor and legislature in open debate. It's not for the sole trustee of the pension fund sitting alone in his office to make state policy, regardless of how noble that policy might sound. The controller has been entrusted with that money for a single purpose, to minimize the cost of pension benefits to the New York State taxpayers. His clients are the employees, the retirees of New York State and local government, and the taxpayers in New York State.
So you think he's been cheating the pension fund by trying to do things like invest in economic development upstate?
I think any time a fiduciary takes on other clients besides the one that the law has given him, he's not being true to that fiduciary responsibility.
Christopher Callahan, Republican controller candidate in New York State, my guest on WNYC. Do you think that you, as a member of the other party, would be a tougher watchdog on Eliot Spitzer's fiscal management if you and Spitzer are both elected?
Well, I'm looking forward to be a tough watchdog on John Faso's fiscal management. But if it comes to it, yes, I'll be a tough watchdog either way. That's the job of the controller. And again, any time the controller gets involved in adopting, as an official matter, adopting some policy agenda, then his financial projections, his budget projections, become tainted by a perception that those numbers are affected by the policy he wants to pursue. I'll stay out of policy, and therefore the numbers that come out of my office will be as accurate as it can make them. It can't, anytime you're doing projections, they're never going to be 100% accurate, but they will have the advantage of being devoid of any policy agenda.
Has this been a good thing for watching Governor Pataki's fiscal policies, the fact that there's been a Democrat, a member of the other party, who wouldn't necessarily be overly friendly to him in Allen Hevesy, watching his pocket?
Well, I don't know. The voters of the state of New York have tended to select governors and controllers of opposite parties, but I think that the FISC of New York State will be under some danger from Governor Governor Spitzer if he gets elected. He has promised everybody everything, and he said he's going to lower taxes when he does it. He in the first so-called debate, he proudly proclaimed that his projected savings from squeezing waste out of the budget, projected savings of $13 billion. You knew that was a good number because Allen Hevesy had gone over his budget numbers. Well, now Eliot Spitzer has gone over Allen Hevesy's restitution numbers and has found some errors there, so I'm not quite sure if we should be comfortable with his budget numbers.
One policy difference between you and Mr. Hevesy, which has the AFL-CIO strongly on his side, you have proposed to abolish traditional pensions for future state workers and replace them with 401k-style accounts. Workers generally want to preserve traditional pensions. Owners generally want them gone in favor of 401ks, which cost them less, but don't usually provide as much to retire on. It was an issue in the transit strike. So talk about that.
Well, I think that's a false choice. I'm proposing a defined contribution plan, which offers more stability. It provides plenty of protection for employees and retirees. In fact, you look at the 1990s when the state and local governments weren't paying anything into pension funds because the stock market was going so well. Had we had a defined contribution plan at that time, money would have been going into those retirement accounts. And even with the fall of the stock market after 9/11, people retiring now, retiring over the next 5 years, would have made out a lot better.
Well, you could argue that, but you know that workers, you won't dispute this, will you? Workers, if they're given a choice, unless they make a lot of money, won't choose the 401ks. And even if they do make a lot of money, because the 401ks are limited in the amount that can be contributed each year, primarily will choose defined benefit pensions given the choice.
Brian, first of all, we're not talking about a 401k. We're talking about a defined contribution plan, of which 401k is a type under the Internal Revenue.
Correct, for the private sector.
For private sector, and it's a 457b for the public sector. But still, that's what we're talking about is a pension plan. But it's a pension plan that defines the relationship between the employer and the employee in terms of the amount that the employer is putting in, rather than the amount that the retiree is going to get on the other side. But the stock market has you take any 50-year period in the history of the stock market, and I pick 50 years because we're talking from the time somebody starts to the time they retire and pass away. 50 years is a good length of time. You took in any 50-year period in this history of the stock market, and the difference in rate of return is not all that great. It fluctuates between, I think it's maybe 5 and 7%, maybe a little bit more. But it's Hevesy has called this a risky plan. I think having your pension funds in the hands of a sole trustee who is ethically challenged is a pretty risky plan.
All right. We have just a few minutes left with Chris Callahan, the Republican candidate for New York State Comptroller, suddenly known in New York after the Allen Hevesy scandal erupted. You were Saratoga County Treasurer. The Democrats say you're not qualified after a job that small to run a $145 billion pension fund. Why think you are?
Well, I've been in governmental accounting, governmental finance for 35 years, 23 years cutting taxes in Saratoga County. And when I retired as Saratoga County Treasurer, I was president of the New York State Association of County Treasurers. I have the credentials to do this job. I have the experience, the training, the attitude of service rather than an attitude of entitlement. But anyone who thinks that I or anybody else in the political world, accounting world, can run a $145 billion pension plan by himself is nuts. The state pays, the pension fund pays over $300 million a year to buy advice on how to run that pension plan. For $300 million a year, you ought to get pretty good advice.
And on qualifications, Hevesy boasts that his indiscretions aside, look at his record. He's grown the state pension fund from $95 billion to $145 billion just over these last 4 years, despite the stock market's ups and downs, and it's listed by the Wall Street Journal as one of the five best-managed funds in the country. Do New York taxpayers want to take on a chance on you, given his record?
Well, the pension fund has not really outperformed other pension funds over that period of time. The pension fund, Allen Hevesy, has not grown the pension fund. The stock market and the taxpayers of the state of New York and local governments have grown the pension fund. Remember that when Allen Hevesy came in, pension costs to the state and local governments skyrocketed. Now, I've never faulted him for that. That was because the stock market fell. But that's money that went into the stock that went into the pension fund. And then what happened? The stock market went up. Is Allen Hevesy taking credit for the increase in the stock market?
Two more things, real quick. I know you got to go. There are some knocks against you in some audits of Saratoga County. According to the Ithaca Journal, the problems include things like weak control over accounts receivable, lack of signatures on documents, and not recording liability for unpaid workers' compensation claims, though these they acknowledge fall into the category of minor problems as opposed to the more serious material weaknesses. But what do you say about these things that audits have turned up? And another audit by Carl McCall when he was controller in 2002, which faulted records kept on capital projects and said completed projects were not always closed out in a timely manner.
There's Allen Hevesy quoted from the audit. He quoted, I think, one line in the audit. I encourage all your listeners to go to my website, www.callahanforcontroller.com. There you will find a link to the complete audit, which is on the controller's website, and also my response to that audit, which was written back in 2001, and we can't do justice to the audit and to the response to the audit in the small time we have. But anybody who wants to do that research will find that it was a difference in philosophy, and Saratoga County's philosophy has yielded the lowest taxes per capita in the state of New York. I stand by it.
So you're saying it was a difference in philosophy rather than a difference in quality auditing practices. Last thing, there is one thing that makes some people uncomfortable about you. You wear a bow tie. Is this a statement of style or a statement of values?
No, I guess I'm making some sort of a statement that I'm a little bit iconoclastic, but I've worn a bow tie off and on for 15 or 20 years. in the campaign, I decided to go with the bow tie as a device to be noticed and remembered, and I think it served that purpose very nicely.
Experts say when people with bow ties sit on jury duty, the lawyers will never pick them. That's not why you wear it, right?
No, I'm not trying to avoid jury duty. I remind you that Winston Churchill wore a bow tie. That's not a bad model to follow.
Chris Callahan, Republican nominee for New York State Comptroller. Thank you very much.
Thanks. All right, take care, Brian.
And coming up, more of our 30 Issues in 30 Days bonus issue, What to Do About Alan Hevesy, with Wayne Barrett of The Voice and Errol Lewis of The News, including who really gets to choose Hevesy's successor if he wins and gets the boot. Stay with us, and we'll take your calls on the Hevesy race, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in 20 minutes, a call-in for anyone who did the New York Marathon yesterday. Any good stories from along the way? Your favorite parts of the course? Rude spectators? Out-of-body experiences? We want to hear it all in 20 minutes. Right now, more of our 30 Issues in 30 Days bonus issue, the one that still has a lot of New York Democrats especially perplexed just a day before the election, What to Do About Alan Hevesy. With me now, Village Voice columnist Wayne Barrett and Daily News columnist Errol Lewis. Hi, Errol. Hi, Wayne.
Good morning.
Brian.
So you heard the Chris Callahan interview before the break. Let me get you to clarify some things. Errol, on the qualifications issue, the New York Times endorsed Callahan, saying he's qualified enough. Governor Pataki says Callahan's got more relevant experience than Hevesy did when he first became New York City Comptroller. Do you think Callahan's basic competence or qualifications are real issues here?
I don't think so. I mean, and this is my opinion, not the position of our editorial board.
Which endorsed Alan Hevesy.
No, I don't think so. I mean, Alan Hevesy is a PhD in political science who has, you know, sort of taught college and served in the assembly. And at the time that he became New York City Comptroller, which is really his only relevant experience before becoming state controller, he hadn't done any of this stuff, and he certainly hadn't done anything comparable to the 35 years that Callahan has spent as a government accountant and treasurer. So, you know, this is like asking whether or not an attorney general candidate is a good trial lawyer. These guys are managers. There's 2,400 employees in the state controller's office. It's not as if the person that's elected to manage these 2,400 employees is going to sit around with the stock tables every day and start picking where to put $140 billion.
Wayne, any different view?
Well, I think one of the prime jobs, you asked him about it. It was a great interview, Brian. Can you be a tough watchdog? And all we have to recommend him on that front is his own words. He's never audited anybody. That doesn't mean that you can't be comptroller if you've never audited anybody, if you've been the subject of critical audits, which I found his response to that to be disingenuous. If the former comptroller, Carl McCall, found he had inadequate records, I don't know how you could call that a difference of philosophy. So I think there's some real questions about his qualification, but I don't strongly disagree with Errol on that. I think the much more important things is the positions he took on the issues that you asked him about. I mean, I call it the let-them-eat-bow-ties form of state pensions. He's going to replace state pensions with 401ks. I mean, as you pointed out in the interview, I just don't see any way in which I favor some changes in the state pension system, but I don't favor eliminating it and replacing it with reliance on the stock market to support state workers. And then his attacks on the very progressive things that Alan Hevesy has done. You know, as representing shareholders, he objected to the fact that Alan Hevesy has used the fact that the city is the state pension fund, rather, is a major shareholder to try to change corporate governance. He objected to that. I think that's ridiculous. The fact that he has made sound investments, Alan Hevesy, that have really improved the pension fund and that they've also been a social good in the state is something he finds that he wants to reverse. Well, it's the positions on those things that trouble me more than the lack of qualifications, but I do have some questions about his qualifications.
So, Errol, you agree with Wayne that there really is a Democratic and a Republican way to be a controller?
Yeah, I fully agree, and I was surprised that Callahan, I mean, I guess it's the political thing to say, that there's only one way to do it, and it happens to be his way, but there are real differences. I mean, you pointed out one in the interview, which is how you treat same-sex couples. That's just nothing but philosophical difference. There are a great many other differences. I mean, I've seen, in fact, through one of my columns, I encouraged Alan Hevesy to do certain things that he actually did, which was on a relatively minor issue, like the when a lot of the hip-hop interviews were leading to shootings, and there was all this controversy around MS Communications. I wrote a column suggesting, you know what, the state controller actually owns a bunch of stock. He probably ought to say something to this guy. Well, you know what he did? He dashed off a letter to the guy saying, you know, I have grave questions about whether or not this company's being run in a sound way. It could hurt our stockholders and so forth. That's a level of activism. And it wasn't just me. Of course, it was community groups that were urging him to do it. But I kind of gave them a ride on in my column. That's a level of activism that Christopher Callahan would, of course, never do. So there are different ways of using the might of the state pension fund that don't necessarily even involve dollars. I mean, when you are deeply invested and you have that kind of a high profile position, you can whisper, and it will be heard all across the country.
And Wayne, back to the question of Callahan as a tough watchdog. You noticed that part of the interview. Any reason to think that Callahan would be a thorn in the side of Elliott Spitzer, assuming they both win, whether that's a good or a bad thing? If he's got this conservative approach to using the state's money or the pension fund or anything else, and Spitzer is coming in with a certain agenda for change, do you think Callahan can bog him down at all?
I think after Alan Hevesy's commercial, his penitent commercial of the last few days, in which he said he'll owe his office to no one except the voters, not the politicians who've deserted him, I think Elliott Spitzer better be looking over his shoulder at Alan Hevesy. I think we're going to have an aggressive auditor, but we'll have a more skillful one if Hevesy's in office. I think, you know, based on the record, the guy's already been doing. I think Errol has a perfectly good point that you don't have to have been an auditor to become a controller, but if you've been doing audits for 12 years, which is what Alan Hevesy has been doing, and I think, you know, in view of what Elliott Spitzer has done to him in recent days, I expect that we'll have a pretty aggressive auditor of the Spitzer administration no matter who gets elected.
You think so, Errol?
Well, I think, I don't know if aggressive is the right word. If Hevesy somehow manages to survive in this job, meaning he not only gets reelected tomorrow but survives the inquiry of the grand jury in Albany County and any actions that the current or the next governor might take to unseat him, let's say he serves another 4 years. I don't know that he's necessarily going to become hell on wheels and go after the administration, but he has been an aggressive auditor. I mean, he is the one who brought up a lot of the problems with the 650 relatively unregulated public authorities that are running all over the state and in some cases getting enmeshed in corruption, as in the case of the Canal Development Corporation upstate. So Hevesy's, I mean, the next controller has got a lot of good things to do. Hevesy has pointed the way that he or whoever is the next controller ought to be looking. You know, I just fall in the camp of those who think that he's hopelessly tainted at this point, that it's just not going to be possible for him to wield a certain kind of political, or if you even want to call it moral, authority to make these audits and to make these claims stick. You know, there is a question about whether Callahan can do more than what he did, which was, you know, one spectacular bust of Alan Hevesy, which is one pretty good find of some misused state
funds. Right, because he rooted this out.
But you know, can you do that every day? You know, you get a tip one day in the middle of a campaign. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to do that.
All right, we can take some phone calls from listeners, I guess particularly Democrats. If you're Republican and we're going to vote Republican anyway, you don't have a dilemma. If you were a Democrat and thought this was going to be an easy vote, Hevesy against somebody you never heard of, what do you do now as the evidence against Alan Hevesy and the seriousness of the transgression seems to mount up? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for our guests, Era Lewis, Daily News columnist, and Wayne Barrett, Village Voice columnist. But before we go to the phones, Era, let me follow up on what you were just saying. Because what happens if Hevesy wins, since this process of assessment and possible removal would have to then go forward? Who does what when? Who decides on his fate? Who decides on his successor if he has to leave office he wins re-election?
What we've discovered, especially over the weekend, is that there are no standards. The special investigator that was appointed by the governor to look into this had to go back into the 19th century to find cases where the legislature had actually removed an elected state official. And so what Hevesy is, even in his worst-case scenario, what he's going to try to do is pile up a mandate from the voters, which anybody, whether it's the state senate or the courts, would be very hesitant to overturn. There's a case to be made that all of his transgressions have been aired, and if the public tomorrow decides that, well, you know what, we're going to reelect him anyway, it's going to be very hard to overturn it. But to answer your question, we don't know, because the last time the state senate did this was decades ago, actually removed somebody, and they didn't leave clear enough records to show what the standards of evidence would be, to show what the procedures were. To take an analogous situation, when they impeached President Clinton, the Senate went all the way back to the Andrew Johnson trial, mm-hmm. and followed the script scrupulously. We don't have any script mm-hmm. to follow in New York.
So,
one thing, though, that was made clear over the weekend in the investigator's report is that most of what's in the ethics report that really turned up a lot of the information about Hevesy's problems would not be admissible in a court of law. And he does have an opportunity, a constitutional right, in fact, to defend himself. And so it becomes unclear whether or not the information we know could ever see the light of day in a fair proceeding.
Right. But a Senate hearing.
Do I get a word in here, Brian?
Yeah, Wayne, the Senate is not a court of law. It's a political body, as we saw in the Clinton impeachment.
Well, that's right, but you know.
Let me get Wayne in on this.
Yeah, I mean, way back to Errol saying many minutes ago that he thinks this is a taint that will haunt or make it impossible for Alan Hevesy to perform his job. I just want to say I totally disagree with that, and you know, I certainly think Errol's later point I do agree with, which is that if Alan Hevesy wins, especially if he wins by a respectable margin, no one could question the fact that people voted for him with full knowledge about the most negative presentation. I mean, not only are the facts out there, the most negative interpretation of every fact has been presented in banner headlines. I mean, do you know, Brian, for example, that the State Ethics Commission report pointed out in a clause, not even a full sentence, that the driver only used the family car and only used the family credit card? Almost nobody knows that, because it's a positive fact that supports Alan Hevesy, and so it's gotten no attention. I think my newspaper was the only newspaper to even mention it.
And yet Elliot Spitzer apparently concluded the other day that Hevesy underestimated by more than half what he really owes the state.
That's not really what he found, Brian. That's not really what he found. He asked him to put $90,000 in escrow. They have yet to determine. I found that to be another strange thing about this. Why they had to do that on the eve of the election, I can't figure out, because they haven't determined what he owes the state. They asked him to put $90,000 in escrow, and after the election, they're going to determine how much of that he actually owes the state.
Do you think that Spitzer being tough just before Election Day?
Yeah, apparently he wants to win by 50 points rather than 40 by looking tough on Alan Hevesy, even though, and nobody knows this better than Errol and the people at his newspaper, because they were the ones who uncovered this. Elliot Spitzer was elected, as we both know, in 94 and 98 by illegal loans made to his campaign by his father. Even he has acknowledged that they were wrong. It took him 10 years until the Daily News editorial board called him in 2004. He promised to repay those loans. It took him 10 years to repay it. A little deja vu here might have been running through his head.
Does it matter, Wayne?
Up on Alan Hevesy.
Does it matter what Spitzer or Pataki or anybody else did to judge Alan Hevesy on what he did?
Sure it matters. Sure it matters. I mean, look, this isn't the first time that we have had a form of a state ethics commission make a ruling on a sitting controller. The last time it was the last Republican controller, Ned Reagan, and the Furyk Commission, the state commission that was set up to investigate ethics, found that he had engaged in a clear conflict of interest in the way in which he financed his campaigns. The key guy in his office that was collecting contributions from underwriters wrote memos saying, you give and you get. And so the State Ethics Commission said he had engaged in this. Every newspaper in town endorsed him for re-election the next year, and he was re-elected. By far a more grievous wrong than anyone could accuse Alan Hevesy of doing under these circumstances.
This is, you know, to be honest, this is the thing you find all the time when you find an official with their hands in the cookie jar. I mean, I mentioned in a column that Roger Green, the former assemblyman, almost got kicked out of the assembly. He ended up resigning and then ran for re-election
and won
over a $3,000 travel voucher. You know, and he said that he didn't quite understand the forms, and that was his excuse. Wayne and I watched Clarence Norman get sentenced to prison over a much smaller amount, $5,000. So, you know, there's no reliable gauge to what's considered serious or not, but by and large, I think the voters do consider this serious. I mean, look, in my case,
well,
I would say...
Can we both agree on something, Errol, that the special prosecutor, Mr. Kelly, this weekend clearly stated in the report, even though the Post's headline was he broke the law, it clearly stated in the report that there was no criminal violation, no criminal statute involved here based on the evidence that they now know. He stated that absolutely clearly because when you say he broke the law, people think... They think that that's a criminal act when basically what he said was he might have violated the public officer's law. There was a valid basis for believing, but not even that he found that he violated, just that there was a valid basis.
You agree on that point phones?
I'd make even a broader point than that, to tell you the truth, and this just comes from having, you know, made it through law school, which is that throwing around words like criminal and illegal – really tends to sort of get the blood going, but it can really just distort a lot of things. I mean,
right. You
know, the Attorney General's probe, for example, and the demand for an additional $90,000, that's not a criminal matter. On the other hand, it's a very serious matter, and I think that's what we want the listeners and the voters to focus on. You know, I was going to say a minute ago, I think it's really serious, and I think it's tainted because imagine if this was money that $83,000, $90,000, $170,000, whatever the number is going to be, imagine if it was currency that he had put in a suitcase and walked out of the Capitol with. That's serious stuff. You're not supposed to do that.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we will have a call-in for anybody who did the New York City Marathon yesterday, but we continue with Errol Lewis from The News, Wayne Barrett from The Voice, and a few phone calls on what to do about Alan Hevesy. Bob in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Was there any real cost to the taxpayers? I think Wayne Barrett started along this line. Was the money for another chauffeur or just the chauffeur that was assigned to him and that was sitting idle? I mean, it all seems to be
well, if this was money, well Errol was just making the point
yeah.
that if this was money that was supposed to be reimbursed and it's $82,000 plus however much of that $90,000 additional that's been put into escrow now, what's the moral difference or, for that matter, fiscal difference between not paying back the state and him walking out with suitcases full of that much cash?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of difference. I mean, one has to look at the human situation also. He was very much concerned about his wife. He wasn't taking money from people who the state does business with. One has to have a human take on this.
Errol, react to Bob briefly?
Oh, I would invite anybody to go down to the criminal courts in any of the five boroughs today and hear the stories from people who are going to be sentenced to jail. They all have wives. They love those wives. They have kids who are hungry. There's lots of different reasons that you can step outside what you're supposed to be doing, but we generally don't give people a break for that.
I don't think you can in any way liken a slowness to repay. And you can read the tea leaves entirely differently than the State Ethics Commission did. I mean, I wrote a piece about them. I think they're a terribly politicized body. I think they read every tea leaf the opposite way that I would read them. Alan Hevesy is the only one of the major public officials in the state to ever request a state ethics commission. That's really what review of matters, and he's requested it twice on this matter. I think that's an inference that he intended to pay. That's the way I read it. I think the fact that they used the family car and the family credit card is another indication that there was an intention, a dereliction, no question about it.
Wayne, after he did a similar thing as city controller and then went all this time?
That's another one of these totally fraudulent things that's gone out there. He had a letter from Michael Hess, the Corporation Counsel of the City of New York, authorizing him to use the city car for his wife. He only paid it back because he was running for mayor. The Post was running a story about it. He wanted it to be a one-day story, so he paid $6,000. Billy Thompson paid $44,000 last week.
Errol, fair enough.
Over a five-year period, he's been using the car. He paid it last week only because of this scandal. $44,000 is a lot more than six.
I have no particular animus against Alan Hevesy, but I just read the tea leaves differently. I read it as him taking the opinion and then finding every which way to sort of torture the words and to go around it. I mean, you know, he didn't get the opinion he wanted from the state police, so then he decided that he would ask his own staff to do it. And then the staff did it, but then there's no records of the staff doing it. And I read that as an inference of him not intending to repay the money.
Carrie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I am a registered Democrat. I'm going to vote for Alan Hevesy. I would never entrust the state pension to a man who's run Saratoga County. Saratoga County is not even a fourth of the size of Brooklyn, New York. And you know what? I just wouldn't do it. And so I think that all of this, I mean, I think what Alan Hevesy did was wrong, but I think most politicians do wrong and bad things. But you know what? He's done a fantastic job. And anyone who's not going to vote for him, I think they're just idiots.
Yeah. Not to put too fine a point on it, and I'd hate to disagree with you on things. But, Carrie, thank you for your call. Just to finish it up, Wayne, what's the timeline here? If Hevesy gets reelected and if he's removed by the state senate or has to resign because of all the pressure around this thing, could that happen by the end of the year and Pataki gets to choose the next controller?
I can't compound one speculation on another. I can just tell you, it's my strong feeling that if Alan Hevesy is reelected, especially with a margin over 5 or 6 points, that this thing is going to go away. It's been disproportionate. It filled a media void. We loved it as a story for a while. Just remind you that Rudy Giuliani had a police detail for his girlfriend for 3 years, in addition to one for his wife. A full detail. When Judy Nathan bought the engagement ring, she did it in a jewelry store in Atlanta with a New York City cop standing beside her. I mean, this thing, if you go back to Arthur Levitt, the Times revealed that for 24 years, his wife had a state driver pick her up at her New York City public school while he was controller. Do I think this is wrong? Yes. Do I think Alan Hevesy made mistakes? Yes. I think the coverage of it has been exploited by the Republicans. The governor is today campaigning for Callahan. On Friday and Saturday, he tried to pose as a disinterested party on Alan Hevesy.
Wait, Judy Nathan bought her own ring? Rudy didn't buy it for.
He
now we have a scandal.
He picked it out, Brian.
I agree with Wayne that a convincing win by Hevesy tomorrow would enable him to maybe stay in office. I don't agree that it will just go away. I think it might become one more part of the broken machinery in Albany, and I certainly hope that doesn't happen.
Errol Lewis from the News, Wayne Barrett from the Voice. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And coming up, if you ran the marathon, you get free airtime. Call in and tell us your favorite part of the course or any other Doing the Marathon story. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.